All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I ask you, BT, the defense was good, and I think it looked, you know, I felt like the Giants' defense has the potential to create havoc. But is that more because of Deshaun Watson and the Browns' offense, or can this be something that moving forward, you know, we saw them get chewed up by Jaden Daniels to a certain extent and couldn't stop the run in week two. Forget week one, Sam Darnold and the Vikings, they look good. Like, it's just week one, it is what it is, and they're not on the Vikings level, or at least weren't there. Do you think what the defense did yesterday could be something that they could hang their hat on moving forward?
I thought the Giants' defense was going to be their strength all season. I really did. Now, you don't know if they're going to have those multiple score leads to be able to really, you know, get after it and force teams to throw the ball, become predictable, which would obviously play into their personnel strength. But yeah, I think the Giants defense, at least the, you know, and there's some interesting pieces on the backside as well. But, you know, from just a pass rush perspective, Dexter Lawrence is a superstar. Burns is maybe a tick below a superstar, if he's even a tick below it. And again, we keep coming back to Thibodeau. Like, Kayvon Thibodeau's kind of the wild card, because when he's on, he really makes it even better. I think that the Browns also had some offensive line issues, and you look at, like, the Jets Patriots last week. I mean, when you have, and they started two rookies on the O-line, the Patriots did. When you have deficiencies up front, help, I mean, just ask the Jets and Giants fans the last 10 years.
It
does make the defenses look a little bit more imposing, but I think every time, really, I really believe this, every time the Giants come out of a tunnel and step on a football field, their pass rush is their greatest strength.
So if I were to ask you that, what would you say would be the Giants' identity when they won their two Super Bowls with Eli taking them on those runs? What would you say would be the identity of their team if I give you two facets of the team?
I would say, well, the defense. It was always the pass rush. I would say and they were clutch, very well coached, and they were clutch. And, you know, possess the ball, run. I mean, there's a couple of ways I could go, but definitely with defense was really good up front.
I would say, if I had to pick two, I would say defense and offensive line. Continuity on the offensive line.
Yeah, those guys were good.
Right.
Yeah, Chris Knee, David Deal, those guys were tough.
And right now, I know it's 3 weeks, and I know it's just one win, but to me, the strengths of the team, now it's a little different because they have the legit weapon in Neighbors, maybe the best wide receiver to ever suit up for the New York Giants. So we know that that's an element here, but their offensive line has been very sound and playing much better. Mm-hmm. They could run the football. Singletary's shown you that, but that's because of the offensive line. Jones has had enough time to get Neighbors or others the football, and their defense. Like, it's not there yet, but that to me would be, if I'm picking not individual players and just facets of their game, I don't think it's a passing game. I don't think it's a running game. I think it's the offensive line, and I think it's the defense.
I think that that's fair. I think that there's certain times where you go into a season, and you know, this is applied to the Giants forever, where you just look at their offensive line, and you're pretty much like, no matter what happens, it's going to be an issue all year. You know, without overstating this, I think we're at least I'm with you, where I see the floor is functional, and I see the ceiling is as an asset. Not over the top Dallas Cowboys 6-7 years ago with Martin and a young Tyron Smith. I don't mean that.
Yeah.
But I mean they are and Frederick, they are much better. And listen, if you have some trench life, you got a chance to win. That's it.
That's what I love. Built inside out in the trenches, Giants so far. Again, last 2 weeks, you know, there's some 2 weeks ago, the defense, you can say, well, get off the field, force a punt. It was nice to see the Giants force some punts yesterday. But I do think long term, as it starts to improve here, as the season goes on and we get into, you know, deeper weeks of the season, their defense and the offensive line will be the keys for the Giants' success. 888-808-1019. Justin is in Dobbs Ferry. What's up, Justin?
What's going on, guys? In the beginning of the season, there was a lot of hype around, you know, Garrett Wilson and the Jets receiving core. I think, you know, with Neighbors now and Wandale Robinson, I think right after 3 weeks, the Giants have, even with Daniel Jones, have a better receiving core right now than the Jets.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, that's, it's funny how it always, you know, the Mets rotation's this, the Yankees. I guess there's always going to be that comparison. Who cares? I mean, I'll say this. I was... And this, by no means do I mean this is anti-Garrett Wilson at all, because I think Garrett Wilson's a star in his own right. Neighbors just looks different. He looks different even than Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I don't know.
You agree with that?
Yes. Well, it's something that crossed my mind live in real time watching yesterday, because I love Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I thought Garrett Wilson was going to be a stud, and I think he still is and can be a stud. Neighbors just a different level.
Yeah.
And Neighbors are
different body control.
Yeah, he's just different. I love what he says after the game. I love what he looks like during the game. Even the fact that he still hasn't let the 4th-and-1 from 2 weeks go, from week two go. Yet, I love all those things about Malik Neighbors. He's different. My first thought was he's significantly better than Odell Beckham Jr. Like that, it wasn't right to Garrett Wilson, but I did think of Garrett Wilson as I'm watching that game yesterday, and I also don't think that that's relevant. Like, who cares?
Yeah, no, it's just a little fun sidebar. But, you know, the Odell stuff, that's inevitable, especially if he makes, play Dallas this week. He makes some sick one-handed grab. Yeah. Forget it.
Well, it's Giants to Giants, so that makes a little more sense. You want to do Jets versus Giants, well, how about the quarterback play? What the Jets have an advantage at quarterback far outweighs the Giants' advantage in wide receiver.
Yes, I would agree with that. But just to keep it to the Giants here, because they're coming off a big win, I don't think that, even though it's a very early read, I look at Neighbors and I'm with you. I just think he's better than Beckham. I think he's more about football. First of all, start with that.
He's a football player. He's an extremely talented, superstar-level football player with the right mindset. That's... Like, now I'm not trying to make this about anti-Odell, but Odell wasn't that. He didn't have the physical tools. He was faster, sure. And maybe the ability to electrify.
Yeah.
When he got the ball in his hands, he would just dart off down the field or make an incredible catch, sure. But Neighbors is a better football player. Mm-hmm. He's a better receiver, flat out. And got that head on his shoulders. He's a special player. Amit is calling from Ramsey, New Jersey. What's up, Amit?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
So you guys are going to hopefully settle an argument in my group chat right now. But quick shout out to BT. BT, I saw you at a Yankee game a couple months ago with your son, his little league team. You are an awesome dad. I saw you interact with them. Awesome dad.
I appreciate that, buddy. I'm trying.
I was there with my son, too. Similar ages, so it was cool.
Nice, nice.
So my group chat is 50-50 right now. 50% think that the Giants are winning the division. They're a little crazy, but fine. The other 50%... The other 50% are concerned that if they keep winning, Jones keeps playing. And so, BT, you talked about if Jones gets hurt, no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jones gets hurt, they have a $27 million
guarantee to him. I know. But if they're that, and I'll let you finish. Hold on. But if they're that concerned about that, which at some point during the year they will be, then he shouldn't have even played yesterday. Like, if he's out there, you got to open up the playbook and you got to let him run, because that's one of his assets.
You made my argument exactly. That's exactly my argument. If you don't want him to get hurt, don't play him. If you want to win games or try and win games, then you play your best players.
Yep.
They're trying to win games.
I just wanted your opinion on it.
They're trying to win games. End of story.
That's my opinion.
But that's what they've been doing. The Giants were built. You know, the idea of them tanking or whatever, that's for fan fodder, which is even ridiculous that it would even come up 2 weeks into the season or 1 week into the season. The Giants are trying to win games. That is what this year was designed to be. We know what Daniel Jones is. It's not about developing Daniel Jones. It's about the Giants trying to win football games with the roster built by Joe Shane and with their new head coach, Brian Daboll, in year 3. They're trying to win football games. The quarterback situation is going to work itself out, whether he gets hurt, whether he doesn't get hurt, and they're going to try to get a new quarterback. We did say, though, going into the year, the worst thing that could happen would be for them to have some success the way that they had in 2022 and then believe in Jones again. Like, that to me would be criminal. You can't do that again.
That would be...
Could happen. I mean, they can make the playoffs.
It's not crazy. I mean, I'm going to start going playoffs already here. I mean...
We don't have to. I'm just saying, like...
No, I know.
We had the same conversation before the season, so it has nothing to do with overreacting to one week.
I got you. Listen, the Giants deserve a ton of credit. I mean, how many teams were dogs by a full touchdown yesterday?
Right.
Now, Cleveland's got their own issues. You'd think the Daniel Jones stuff is maddening. Imagine being them on the hook for $230 million guaranteed every penny to Deshaun Watson. Like, my dad watches the Jets and the Giants, right?
Okay.
And we're sitting there yesterday, and we're watching. They were over this weekend. And we're watching the Browns. And I'm watching the Giants and the Browns. And he's like, now he's not like... I mean, he's into the NFL, but he's not like us, where we watch basically everything. He's like, man, Deshaun Watson, this guy can't even move anymore. I'm like, he's under duress every single snap because the Giants pass rush is just beasting. But he wasn't really wrong. Like, not that anybody cares here, but what the hell happened to Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, he was a great
player. Like, that's a problem. Yeah. Like, the Giants thing will resolve itself. Now, it's not going to resolve itself during a radio segment. It's not going to resolve itself next week or next month. But eventually, after this year, it will be resolved based on the record, based on if he gets hurt, based on if they decide to sit him to preemptively avoid him getting hurt. The answers are coming. Just enjoy the win. And enjoy the fact, as Sal and I just chronicled before, that this division is very different. Do you know, by the way, Sal, I didn't give you a stat. I meant to give you this before. Because I focus more on the Dak and the Micah Parsons mm-hmm. press conferences and what they hit on in relation to how dysfunctional and how broken their team might be. The Dallas Cowboys have given up, I want to say it's like 580 yards, somewhere in the neighborhood. But I know for a fact, it's the most since the 1963 season. They can't stop the run. Think about that. 1963.
If the Cowboys are broken and the Eagles clearly aren't as, I mean, their defense is legit and we know that they have some weapons, but if the Eagles, and the Eagles also quit on the team or on their coach a year ago.
You always say it. You're not a big Eagles guy.
Yeah, I'm not. I bet the under this year on them or pick the under on the Eagles. Then maybe the division. And by the way, for the Giants to get in the playoffs, like somebody brought up playoffs before, we're talking it a little bit. It's going to be a stretch where you look at the landscape. Like,
sure.
Are the Giants better than the Seahawks?
I'm not going to say that they're not.
Okay, well, that's a game that they could win. Seahawks right now lead the NFC West. They're not better than the Niners. I'm just saying, so two teams from there potentially. Yep. NFC South, do you think the Giants are better than the Saints?
No. Buccaneers? No, Saints are better. They could be. They could beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Falcons?
No.
I'd probably lean Bucs and Falcons both and Saints. Over the Giants. Vikings?
I want to see a little bit more, but, you know, we talk about Darnold because that impacts, you know, his Jet history here. Flores is running that defense, and Brian Flores is doing a hell of a job.
Defense is legit.
Yeah.
Lions?
Lions good.
Yeah, you got to give the Lions Vikings edge. By the way, the Vikings pasted the Giants, so I would give them the edge. Packers?
Packers are good.
And they're going to get Jordan Love back.
Yeah.
And then it comes to the NFC East. So, point is, the best path may be
the division.
Yes.
Which is the most improbable path based on what we thought. Well, not everybody, some of us, and I'm lumped in there. I thought the NFC East would be really good. Like, I just thought it would be very top-heavy, and it still might be. Like, Dallas might come out of this meet, like this, you know, put it all on the table, and Parsons and Prescott, they serve as the impetus to, you know, firing up the defense and the offense. They come in here Thursday, they hang, you know, 30 on the Giants. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could. Like, there's two roads at this point. Dallas either goes left and they're done, or they go right, they piece this together, and they're the team that I think that they could be. The Eagles seem to, you know, they got a concussion now. Smith, they got some issues there. Jalen Hurts has 3 touchdowns, 4 picks. The Commanders, young talent, they already lost a divisional game. So, yeah, I mean, it's very muddled here. Here's what I'll say.
Shame they lost week two.
Oh, God. Amongst all what I just said, The Giants are, without overstating this, are a little closer to the top of the division than I thought. I thought they were nowhere near it.
Here's the bottom line. These next two games for the Giants are going to define their season. If they are to be a playoff team, like, they can't lose to Dallas and hope to win the division. You can't lose at home and hope to win the division.
And plus, start 0-2 in the division at that point.
Yeah, plus what they've done in the past. Like, that all matters here. If they don't win this game, you just basically chalk up the division for an L. And then they have to win at Seattle, because if they don't win that one, that could be one of the teams that could, the Vikings are going to be a team that are going to be playing in the wild card or fighting for a wild card spot.
And they lose to tiebreaker. Yeah.
Seattle is going to be one of the teams you're going to have to battle for a playoff spot. Like, at some point, if you were to take this Giants team seriously as a potential playoff team, they're going to have to win these next two games, Ned, or at least one of the next two games. Ned is in Athens, Georgia. What's up, Ned?
Hey, I'm thrilled they won yesterday, but the special teams gas continue to kill this team. I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer, but, I mean, Eric Gray couldn't field punts last year, and he almost lost them the game 5 seconds in. I just don't know why they insist on making the guy a returner. Why can't they just put someone back there that can actually catch and not fumble? Because if they're muffing punts and fumbling kickoffs versus Dallas, they're going to lose.
Well, it's not only that. It's making kicks as well. I mean, the Giants special team but it's always been an issue.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with them deciding to kick the field goal. 48-yard field goal, if you can't make it, you shouldn't be in the league.
Oh, I agree.
So, I mean, that's a problem there. And, yeah, I mean, look, what are the other options? You have to believe that. Although I will say that I've always just fundamentally, I'd rather have a kick returner that is less explosive but more sure-handed
mm-hmm.
than a guy that, a little iffy with catching it or holding on to it, but if he does catch it, he can break one.
Especially now.
Yeah, well, that is true,
too. Just catch
too.
The ball.
Yeah, just catch the damn ball. Good God, hold on to it. Drives me up a wall. I can't stand that. So the Giants special teams are an issue. Look, I saw a quote from, they just posted this on social media a little while ago from Boomer. Let me get the exact quote here. Because while I was impressed with the Giants' coaching performance yesterday and relieved to a certain extent, Boomer said, quote, that legitimately looked like a really good football team, talking about the Giants. I didn't see that. I didn't see a legitimate good football team. I saw a legitimate superstar in Neighbors. Uh-huh. I saw a well-coached team. I saw a good offensive line. I saw a defense that was aggressive with potential. There was a lot of things there to like.
Yes.
I did not come away saying, you know what? This is a legitimate good football team.
I think he's probably got more belief in Jones than you, which is going to fuel that in a direction that's more favorable. I also would say, did Booms watch the second half? And I know he did. And of course,
he's also watching a lot of other games.
No, I understand that. Like the second half was the first 5-6 minutes. It's like, all right, Giants might be picking second, third in the draft.
Even in special teams, to the point, like that's a part of the game too.
It's what's 33% to 3%. I mean, literally. So you know, the start, the back end was problematic, but this is not a team devoid of weaponry or hope. And it seemed like it was trending in that direction. They stabilized everything, and it should be fun. We'll get to Thursday when we get to Thursday, but at least, hey, season's on.
Emmanuel's calling from Long Island. What's up, Emmanuel?
Hey, how's it going, BT and Sal? I just wanted to talk briefly. I'm a Bills fan since, like, middle school and all that stuff, and my dad's a Jets fan and Giants fan, but I'm just trying to understand how y'all are hyping up the Jets and Giants when they've only faced very poor teams going 0-2 so far, and they've won against subpar quarterbacks and teams.
Why are you worried about what we're doing? Worry about what you're doing.
Tell me, like, when you win against, like, a good team, like come the Jets versus Bills a couple weeks from now,
Hold on a minute. You called us up making it seem like the Bills sweep the Jets every single year. Zach Wilson beat you.
Well, true, but now Zach Wilson's, like, on not a real good team anymore. Like, and the Jets are Giants. I can you speak more to, like, when they face a good team?
Emmanuel,
like,
we can.
Emmanuel, here's the thing. I don't know if you know this, but you're on Long Island, so I'm assuming that you do. You know this is a New York sports talk station, right?
Yeah, the Buffalo Bills are the only team in New York.
No. The Bills aren't in New York, and thank you for the call. I don't care what geography says. Just same thing with Brooklyn, with the Nets. Says. The Nets aren't a New York team. Oh, you're Brooklyn's in New York. Yeah, I understand that. They're not. Okay, same thing with the Bills. There's New York sports talk, so we're focusing on the Jets and the Giants because that's what we do. Those are the two New York teams. You want to go to Rochester or Toronto or Buffalo and worry about the Bills? Then
Niagara
you can do that.
Falls.
Or when the Bills play the Jets, sure, we'll get into that. And nobody's dismissing the Bills. We've talked about the Bills a little bit, but the reason why we're talking about the Jets and Giants because that's what we talk about in New York sports. It's not overhyping the local teams by beating bad teams. It's all they played so far.
That's an odd flex, by the way, as a Bills fan. It's an odd flex. It's not like you're a Chiefs fan.
Yeah.
You're a Bills fan.
Right. How about this?
You've never won.
Can the Bills actually break through in the postseason one of these years? Would that be possible?
I'll tell you what, man. I will say this. Now, first of all, to be fair, I'm going to delineate between the Jets and the Giants, and I think most of us will. Not that I even want to do that now, but just reacting to the call. Like, the standard, I don't mean, the general standard. I'm talking about the expectation for the, because the general standard favors the Giants because they're a better franchise. This year, the Jets are supposed to be better than the Giants. I believe that they will be. I believe that they'll win a lot more, provided Rodgers stays healthy, a lot more games than the Giants will. And I believe that the Jets will be one of the best teams in the AFC. I'm not saying that about the Giants, but I do think yesterday there was a flicker of hope, a reminder, hey, this pass, if you can get after the quarterback and you got a game wrecker as either as a running back or a receiver and your quarterback just plays competently, which obviously is a huge debate moving forward, mm-hmm. you got a puncher's chance. So it's not to equivocate the Jets and the Giants on the same level, which is, I think, what he was saying. It's to Sal's point, reacting to what they've given us so far in the season, who they play. That's what we could do.
That's what we do. Three of four from Philadelphia, and the way that they do it, it's just remarkable what this team has done. No Francisco Lindor, no offense, in certain spots, but yet the pitching has carried them down the stretch here. And for me, here's what I'll say, same thing I've been saying for months. I want to see what they do against the Braves. That's, like, nothing they do is going to impress me here until they beat Atlanta 2 out of 3. They're 2 games up with 6 games to go. That's great. Last time in 2022, they had to win one game in Atlanta to win the division. They won none. This time, they got to take two out of three to stamp their ticket to the postseason. No excuses. You beat everybody else. Go beat Atlanta two out of three. That is, once they do that, then I'll say that this team has no ceiling on them.
All right, I understand that, and you've been saying that for a while, so you're consistent. I see it a little differently here. I'm impressed, man, and I know you're enjoying this, but I understand how you're pushing the bar forward because of what happened a couple of years ago. I do get that, right? And that's the ultimate barometer. Mets got to finish the race. Like, this has gone from a highly improbable story to if you don't finish it, it's now a colossal disappointment.
Yeah.
It's no longer like, oh, the cute little teeny tiny Metsies, even though they're doing it in a very improbable and implausible manner, you got to finish it. And, you know, I think that the National Series, where they scored, the 10 runs, a couple of games in a row, and they had every reason, you know, if they were to, you know, maybe flex that, you know, the things that happened in the past with the Mets, and we all know what they've been, after Friday's shellacking to come out there without Lindor, you know, a little lackluster Saturday, nope, they make sure they win that game. And then, obviously, they finished the job national TV last night. Diaz coming in. I love the move, getting him in there early, throwing absolute gas. You know, Nimmo's bomb. The place was rocking. I know. I understand that the Braves, they're waiting for you. But I thought this weekend against the Philly was amazing.
Right, but I'd say the same thing, even if they won two of the four from Philadelphia. Like, it's still, to me, I wouldn't be ripping the Mets, be like, oh, how you can't. And last night going in against Zach Wheeler with Tyler McGill on the mound, like, that's a game you don't really expect to win, but they did. You mentioned it with Diaz and the timely hitting. Nice to see Nimmo starting to wake up when it matters most. Yeah. We know Alvarez has been getting going lately. We'll get into Pete a little bit later on, but you know, the way the Mets have done it with no Lindor, and we'll get into Lindor as well, where, you know, it could be something serious here. To me, if Lindor doesn't play, if he's not in the lineup tomorrow, then, you know, it's real bad. But it's just always, it was always for months, it was pointing toward this series. This is it. Because of what happened, how do we start the year talking about the Mets? It was this core group, right? The core group, then it was Lindor, Alonso, Nimmo, McNeil.
Yep.
And that core, I never believed, was ultimately good enough, especially when it comes to beating the Atlanta Braves. Now, the core has since changed, where Vientos has emerged. Iglesias has been, at least for this year, a big part of their core this year. You know, the pitching has been much better this year than anybody thought. But Lindor's been playing like an MVP. Pete has had the most non-impactful 35 home run season you could ever have. McNeil's nowhere to be found. Nimmo's been inconsistent at best, where he's had an extremely hot run before the All-Star break, and then he was ice cold. So I don't even know how you would describe his season. But it's still this group needing to prove themselves against that team in that ballpark. Everything they've done has been incredible to get to this point. 87 wins already with six games to go. In a playoff spot right now with six games to go. To me, it doesn't mean anything until they do it against Atlanta. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but they could get swept. What if they get swept? I didn't think it was going to happen in 2022 when they did get swept. You know, the Braves are like, oh, all right, we got this. The Mets are coming to town. Now this is where we get hot. I mean, that could be the same. Until they beat the Braves, BT, I can't believe it.
I'm sure they're confident. I'm sure their fans are confident. I get it. That's just the dynamic of the rivalry, of the relationship for a while here. But, I mean, you know, the Mets, and it could have looked like, I know what it's about now. But imagine they would have lost three or four to the Phillies. Like, imagine if...
But I still think it would have come down to this series.
I mean, it might have. No.
Right, they would have been, let's just say they would have been tied going in. It's the Mets.
But it shows me they're more ready.
Yeah.
It shows me that they're more ready, which is really, every time that they've collapsed at the end of seasons, they don't win three out of four against the Phillies like they did this past weekend. They just don't. And they certainly don't bounce back and win Saturday and Sunday after they got rocked on Friday. Like, they were... Yeah, and we were there. We'll talk about our experience a little bit later. We had a great time, but we'll get more into that later. And the Pete stuff, as Sal said, that place was, you know, energetic and then quiet. And there was some, like, if you can feel that emotional instability. And then it was stabilized 2 days in a row. Let's go. Just win these games. Win two.
But that's kind of my point. They're in a great spot now where if they win two out of three from Atlanta, they're in. As opposed to having to win two out of three to gain a game on them into the final three. But if they were up two, which they are, down two, even, back one.
It still comes down to the Braves.
Yeah. It's still going to be the same thing. Go beat that team 2 out of 3. Because let's just say, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, I'm saying that the reason why I can't fully believe in this team, and I do believe in them and have for a long time, to a certain extent, beat the Braves. That's the only thing left that they have to do. Once they do that, there is no ceiling. Doesn't mean that they're going to win in the postseason, but that's all I need to see. But let's just say they lose 2 out of 3. And then what? All of a sudden they have a game lead going into the final three games.
Then handle Milwaukee.
Well, I understand that.
There's
but
a couple paths
But
to
now
get
all
there.
Of a sudden you're starting to be in a bad spot. Like, this is it. This Braves series is it. This is the team that you need. I want to see them send the Braves home. Take 2 out of 3. Clinch your spot and send Atlanta home.
If they sweep, if they sweep the Braves, Braves are out. Like, that's it.
Well, I just know that. Well, put it this way: I know that the Mets are in with 2 out of 3. It doesn't mean that the Braves can't get in because of the Diamondbacks, but the Mets and Diamondbacks are tied. So, if the Diamondbacks won 2 out of 3. And the Mets won 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
I believe that would be the end of Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
It sounds right. If the Mets, and then who knows how serious Milwaukee even takes this, because they're kind of settled in a little bit here. So even if the Mets do stumble against Atlanta and they lose two, maybe a heartbreaker, they win one, and then maybe they get smoked the other game, you know, there's still a window to do this on the back end for sure, as we know. But if the Braves get swept by the Mets.
Yeah.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo, if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand and the yummy way to start the school year.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, that would be sweet.
What's the most pleasure? Like, that's gotta...
It would be sweet. This, to me, is 2 years in the making. It's time for payback. I know it's not equal as far as the division goes, but we're talking about postseason.
But if they sweep them, the last time you felt this good about the Mets, was it the World Series 2015? I mean, what would it be? If they sweep them.
No, maybe even 2006,
okay,
honestly.
Okay, that's where I was getting at.
Or maybe the high point for me in 2015 was sweeping the Cubs. Sweeping the Cubs in the NLCS.
Okay. Yeah.
That's probably the high water mark that I felt in a long time. So if they swept, because this season has been great. And no matter what's happened here, they've overcome it. They've been literally one of the best teams in baseball since June. All year long, they've been consistent. And right now, the Mets and Yankees, two hottest teams in the sport, which is incredible to think about. So this would be the final... Yeah, I'm ready for it. This would be the final check or the final stamp on this regular season. Go take 2 out of 3. Beat them to get in. It's perfect. It's lined up perfectly. All you got to do is take 2 out of 3, mm-hmm. and you are in. And
it's amazing that they're here. I mean, it really is amazing. It's amazing.
And it's even more amazing how. Iglesias, yeah. The pitching. Their bullpen has been minor league the majority of the year.
Yeah.
Lindor is now out and has been out for a little bit here. Alonso's had the most unimpactful season that he's had, potentially, mm-hmm. certainly for the numbers that he put up. McNeil out, irrelevant this year. Nimmo, inconsistent. Marte, nothing. Like,
yeah. Dude, if you told me, so that they're at, 87
Senga
now?
Senga out.
I know. Yeah. And by the way, he had a setback, as you saw, so he's definitely done.
Who cares?
Well, I mean, that's not good. That's not news that you want. It would have been another bullet to fire at some point. But the Mets are, 87? So if you would have told us, or I'll speak for myself, you told me in, mid-ish March, St. Paddy's Day, moving toward the season, hey, with a week to go in the season, entering this three-game series with the Braves, the Mets will be at 87 wins. I would have said, okay, Pete's probably got, 45 to 48 home runs. Lindor, maybe not quite this good, second MVP-ish, in that, but amazing. Nimmo, OPS of 850, whatever it might be. McNeil, big bounce back season, maybe hit 290 or so. Alvarez, 25, right, 28, right. 30 home runs.
Right.
Like all the things that you would have thought, Marte, as you said, would have had real influence on the season. It's been almost the exact opposite, except Lindor.
Which is unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
And even Lindor didn't get going until the end of May. Now, I'm not trying to knock on
him.
I'm just saying, 2 months of the season for Lindor wasn't very good. Remarkable what the Mets have done. Nick is in Middle Village. What's up, Nick?
Yeah, guys, listen, just for the record, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm a Met hater. I'm not going to lie. But I've been watching the Mets for 3 months or so. This team is legit. And they got the bounces too now. I'm watching these games. The balls are bouncing their way. It's like the gods. So not only they're playing like a college baseball team. They're hustling, a lot of intensity. I think if they get in the playoffs, I think they're gonna get in the playoffs. No question. I wouldn't want to play them. I'll be honest with you, because I think anything is fun. They look good. And also one more thing, Sal.
Yeah.
Before I leave, you were saying the Nets. The Brooklyn Nets, and I was driving. I thought I heard something crazy. The Brooklyn Nets are not a New York team?
Right.
Serious? All right. I'm not going to argue. Whatever you say.
You could argue because they are.
It's just my opinion.
You can elect to argue.
Yeah.
I just chose to ignore it.
Thank you for the call, Nick. No, we appreciate you checking in. The Nets are New Jersey. And same thing with the Devils. And it doesn't count in New York. And by the way, I live in New Jersey. So nothing against New Jersey. It's just when it comes to New York sports, the Devils and the Nets, I don't look at it. Same thing with the Bills. Well, they're in New York. Technically, the Jets and Giants live in New Jersey, too, but they're New York teams. But your point about the Mets is a good one. The Mets have been a legitimate team here for a long time. And those little things, BT, it shows you all the things you mentioned. Like, if I would have told you McNeil would have a good year, this or that. Well, how have the Mets been doing it? Because they have baseball players. Tyrone Taylor, a guy that's going to put the bat on the ball. It's going to hustle. It's going to make the play when he needs to. Good defensive players. Good rotation. Good depth. The good manager. I mean, the Mets have done all the little important things that help you win baseball games along the way, even with a lesser talented roster.
They lost their ace. Their best player has been distracted. Best in terms of Pete with the contract stuff. Delivered a subpar season. And here they are. I mean, they're knocking on the doors of 90 wins. It really is. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's been fun to watch. I know Met fans are like, just the juice in Citi Field the other night, just pulling up. It took me forever to get in. But when you get in, it's like that static, that just buzzing. Going to get a drink, going to the bathroom, it's absolutely mobbed. Everybody's fired up. You guys deserve this, and I'm sincerely happy for you, and I didn't see this coming a mile. And by the way, I'm not the only one. Like, maybe at least I can say it. I mean, a lot of people, who really thought the Mets would be good this year? Honestly, who really thought the Mets would be this? Show me one Recko thought he bet the over, but I don't even think that he thought that they would be this. Pete Hoff, always thinks the Mets are going to be good, so I don't want to say you take it with a grain of salt, but he just kind of skews optimistically. But he was in the Mets' corner and never bailed. Come on. When the season started, they looked like a Triple-A team.
Well, I think
and here we are.
I think there's a different preseason to what happened in season when they started 0-5 and when they were 11 games under 500. I can confidently say that nobody, when they were 11 under 500, believed that they would end up winning 90 games, which, by the way, they haven't done yet. So all these accolades that the Mets have achieved and everybody throwing them their flowers, work to do here. They haven't done anything yet. Go beat Atlanta 2 out of 3. Then you can celebrate. Looking forward, BT, to going out there Thursday night. This time at MetLife. Last Thursday was at JetLife with the Jets and the Patriots. So I'm looking forward to going to my first Giants-Cowboys game ever on Thursday night. You and I had the pleasure of going out to Citi Field on Friday night. And, you know, look, first of all, it was fun just hanging out, being in that atmosphere. I know they got pounded, but it was still, you could feel the electricity. Crowd was going nuts when the scoreboard watching took place and all that. For me, that game was about Alonso's at-bat. And then the whole weekend became about Alonso. He had an opportunity that night. Bases loaded. The Mets were down big. And Alonso, yeah. The whole crowd on their feet. Pete Alonso, Pete, as it was all weekend. Pete came into the Mets like a lion, and he's gone out like a lamb. Like, this is pathetic. He struck out in that spot yesterday, even though the crowd was going nuts in what could be his final home game. Let's hope that it's not, but could be his final home game. Crowd going nuts every time. 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Like, it's over. I'm over it with Pete Alonso. They did the right thing by supporting him. I can't get a hit in a big spot to save his life.
Yeah, we had a different perspective of a different spot in the stadium because that's when we left you at the seat for like an hour, right?
Yeah, you guys left and never came back.
We had to go get drinks.
Yeah, I know.
We had to go get some drinks.
I wanted to watch the game.
Well, we were. Then we didn't think we were going to disappear for that long. So we saw the Alonso at bat in the concourse, right? Yep. We were getting some drinks. Me, it was Hoff, and it was Gallo. Sal was at the seat. And it was funny because I got a couple of tweets about this from people who knew that we were there. Like, hey, what did it sound like? What was the vibe and the overall sense when Pete came up to bat there? And I didn't really respond to it. I said, I'll just get to it on the air in my mind. And I didn't really get the sense in the concourse while everybody stopped what they were doing because it was a pivotal point. Maybe the Mets get back in the game. Yeah. Like Granny, whatever. There didn't seem to be a lot of tangible belief that Pete was going to get the job done. And when he didn't, it was like this collective groan that just kind of, I don't know, kind of to me cemented his season.
I think that was the nail in the coffin for the season. Now, with all that being said, Pete can still save his year by beating the Braves. Him. I'm talking about him. Like, the Mets can beat the Braves. But for Pete, if he goes nuts against Atlanta in those three games and in the postseason, all may be forgotten. But I could just tell you, and I'm glad I stayed in the seats for that moment because it brought me back to many years when I would be in that same spot, but it was at Shea Stadium, and there was a big moment. You just get a feel for it for the individual player, and let's say it's Piazza, let's say it's David Wright, whoever, and you just, okay, this is the time where this player has to produce. And even me, who's been not a detractor of Pete, but more realist and just very frustrated with the way the last two seasons have gone, I think the crowd was hopeful and trying to will him to, okay, here you go. All that happened before doesn't matter. Right now, Friday night, big series against the Phillies, playoff push, bases loaded. This is a spot where Pete Alonso, same way Mike Piazza or David Wright or whoever, Darryl Strawberry, would have to do damage in. That's what everybody's thinking. This is your spot. Anything that happened before doesn't matter. Go up there and produce, whether it be a grand slam, you can have the place, you know, the roof blow off the place, whatever it may be. Double in the gap, sure. And he struck out. Like, again, you're right. And it was just, okay, we tried to will him. Same thing with the fans Saturday and Sunday, trying to will him to do something good. Yeah. Yesterday specifically, every time he came up, and you could tell Pete wants it so badly. Even did you hear his comments after we're talking about how it was storybook for him?
Yeah.
Storybook? You were 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. Storybook? No, that's not storybook. Like, and I know what he was trying to say, but that's, again, he just doesn't get it. 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, and afterward, like the response should have been, I hate the fact that I have let this fan base down this year. I know I was an all-star and I talked about that. I know I have some numbers, but I haven't had the impact that I've wanted to have on this team. And specifically in that game last night, to go 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts, if it is my last home game, is terribly disappointing. I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure it's not my last home game. And the next time, it'll be a different result. Like, that's what you should be saying. And instead, oh, it was just storybook. It was just story. Like, all right, dude.
Yeah, it was a little bit of an odd description, whatever. But I'll tell you, Friday was fun. It really was fun. And you asked me my level of regret. Remember, I didn't feel well. I still can't shake this cough.
Oh, no,
you're
feeling
a little bit under it, right?
I've gotten a cold. Yeah, yesterday it started hitting me.
You know, but the Met fans were great. You know, hey, of course, you don't think I heard a lot of, oh, dude, you know, you come, you lose, we lose.
Yeah.
It was nice to see the Grimace production on the big screen, the biggest screen in baseball. That was fun. The dude in front of us, I'm forgetting his name, had a WFAN tattoo.
Man, that was crazy.
A legitimate tattoo on his arm. You know, we had a good time, so it was good. And it was nice to see a lot of FAN fans out there. But it would have been nice for a win. I mean, come on, they played awesome. Yeah, they got rocked.
No, we can do about that.
Adovino stinks. If he's out there in anything that remotely resembles a meaningful spot in October, it's not going
to
go well.
Well, David Peterson was the problem there. And I had no issue with Mendoza pulling Peterson, just the issue to go to Adovino there, which is a little bit of a problem. All right, BT and Sal. But it was fun to hang out there. Maybe we'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
I'm all in.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Traffic Nick was awful, though. It took me 2.5 hours getting there.
How long did you getting home?
Going home was pretty easy. You know, I left because it was such a rally. Yeah. When did we walk out? In the eighth inning?
9:30.
Eighth inning, right?
Seventh, I think. But 9:30. Either way, it was 9:30.
Either way.
Yeah.
No, what time?
Yeah, 9:30.
9:30. Going home was easy, actually. Yeah. It was just getting there. But whatever.
Nick
is in. You sell out, that's what you're going
to get. Yeah, big crowd. He couldn't even go to the bathroom. Nick is in Franklin Square. What's up, Nick?
BT, Sal, how are you guys?
Nick.
Good.
All right, I just want to talk about these. Now I'm a diehard Mets fan. This team, all I can say is, why not? Why not us? Listen, with every step of the way this year, listen, besides the 11 games that we lost, and this team has never got rattled. We never, there hasn't been, lost 5 games in a row or, went on a series. We've never gotten rattled. Yeah, we lost 2 games. We lost a series. This team kept on, we always came back.
All right, so Nick, I'm going to clean it up for you. And I know where you're going. I can sense the excitement. I think that's awesome. I don't think but you're by yourself. This Mets team has character. What you try to say is the team has character. Because when you have character, you deal with adversity well. And whether it was the bad start, whether it was the injuries, not just to Lindor, but hey, Senga's back, now he's gone. Oh, he might come back, now he's gone. I mean, they've had so many different things that have crept up on their radar, and the character of the team and the leadership of the manager and Lindor has pushed them into one of the most improbable places in a long time on the New York sports scene. They've just got character.
There should not be a ceiling on this team, and we could have said that and did say it a few months ago, but there should not be a ceiling put on this team. However, for me, I need to see them just beat Atlanta.
See Lindor get back.
Well,
doesn't
matter what kind of blows they've taken, they've responded every single time.
I know, but how many times you want to tempt fate without Lindor in October?
I'm not saying I would pick them to win a World Series without Lindor. What I'm saying is, they have been one of the best teams, if not the best team in baseball since June. That's a long time.
Yeah,
June,
that's
July,
a fact.
August, September.
It's a fact.
Right, those are facts.
Yeah.
And they've overcome everything that's been thrown in their way. Injuries to key players, whatever may be. Gauntlet of a schedule. Their schedule. One thing that this team, this organization has to prove, this core has to prove, that they could beat the Braves. That's it. Once they take 2 of 3 from the Braves, I don't think that's asking too much to you. They just took 3 out of 4 from the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
Go take 2 out of 3 from Atlanta. Atlanta's a down team this year, right? Go take 2 out of 3 from the Braves. Once they do that, then I will believe anything is possible with this
team. You know what stinks? And I get it. Bottom line, push the chips in. Hey, just beat Atlanta. Let's go. It's in your fate. It's in your hands, I should say. You control your fate. You're up 2. The Braves are ravaged with injuries. Mets had their own, but obviously the Braves have had a wildly disappointing season. I would hate for the Mets to, and I don't necessarily see this coming, I really don't. They're going to the playoffs. What happens then, who knows? But I would hate to see them sputter out and all the equity that they built up this year, because they have overachieved, for that just to disappear.
You got to finish it.
I know you do. It's big boy territory. I get it.
Right now,
man,
it feels like everybody's like, oh, they're getting in. They're getting in. Not yet, they're not.
I think they're getting in.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's how everybody feels now.
Yeah.
Well, still got work to do. 6 games to go. Go get in. Take 2 out of 3. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back. Reset here with the crown topic. Today we'll work in both the Giants and the Mets when we return. Number to call is 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.
I'm John Aran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, parents, it's back to school time, and I've got a secret for you. There's a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routine. Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. You see, my kids think they're just eating fun, delicious gummy bears, but little do they know, they're getting essential nutrients for their health and development.
Mom, we know they're vitamins.
As I was saying, kids absolutely love, and apparently know, these are vitamins. Little Critters is the pediatrician-recommended kids' multivitamin gummy brand, and the yummy way to start the school year.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.